today as we come to the table.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, who cover yourself with light as with a garment, who stretched out the heavens like a curtain. Guys, when you take a curtain and you stretch it out, is it all here in the middle to begin with? You see, God created. Everything was here. Light, the light from the stars, the planets, God created it. God grabbed it and went, whoop. And you know what's interesting? Even scientists today say that our universe is what? Expanding. Because God said he stretched out the universe like a curtain.
I would love to see animators try to capture the awesome power of God in the creation story. As Pastor Mark painted a picture for us of God drawing out the universe like a curtain, I could almost see it happening. Can you feel the glory of that moment? Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the Daily Bible Study Program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. As Pastor Mark continues through the creation account today, let your mind and heart be captured by the awesome power and art of our creative God. Put yourself there at the beginning when there was nothing. Watch the light spring to life. And remember, with every new and awesome creation, that God also made you. And to him, you are the pinnacle of his creation. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis, chapter 1. With today's edition of Come to the Table.
Professor Marcus Dodds of New College Edinburgh said this: if, for example, the word day in these chapters does not mean a period of 24 hours, the interpretation of Scripture is hopeless. If we can't depend on the very first two chapters, where do we go from there? What about the rest of it? Is all the rest of it false? Well, maybe God meant this by that word, and maybe God meant this by that word. And so how do we know where to stand? Guys, we know where to stand because God says he says what he means and he means what he says. Now, we do need to acknowledge that the word day can have different meanings depending on the context, such as back in my day, okay? Back in my day, this was going on, and that's getting a lot easier to say now if you work with teens any. You were alive when Elvis, ooh. I mean, they do think you're a fossil. They think you're a living fossil. Yes, I was alive, by the way, when Elvis was around. Sorry. Nobody young enough to be shocked by that, But notice this, however, in Genesis 1 and 2, the word yom or day is defined specifically as a 24-hour period. How do we know that? Well, again, and when we get to that, we'll read it. You can glance at it as we're talking, but we're not going to read through it today. But you'll notice after each day of creation, God states that it was evening and morning. Guys, evening and morning, that's a day. And on the first day, he goes so far as to say that it was broken up into light and darkness. So evening and morning means light and darkness. So the next day, there was light and darkness. The next day, there was light and darkness. Does this mean that for millions of years, there was light and then millions of years darkness? And then millions of years light again and millions more years darkness? And then millions of years light again and then millions more years darkness? Guys, even the unbelieving scientists would say that's absurd. There's nothing to suggest how would you get light to be there and disappear, light to be there and disappear. Scientifically, that wouldn't even line up with their own postulations from where they're coming from. So again, we see that it just doesn't hold water when you look at it in light of what he says. In addition, the Hebrew language has several words that represent long periods of time. But none of them were used here. Why not? Why didn't God just, if it's a long period of time, why didn't he just use the words that are there available in Hebrew to show that it's a long period of time instead of the word yom, which is used throughout the scripture as a literal 24-hour day? I don't think God's intent was to confuse us. I think God's intent was to tell us how he did it. I think it's been the enemy's attempt to confuse us. In Exodus 31, verses 16 through 17, God declares through Moses, notice what he says. Therefore, the sons of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever. Note this, for in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Again, Exodus 20, verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and he hallowed it. Again, what I want you to notice here, it's not just Genesis, but other scriptures that repeatedly declare that God created in 6 literal days. So it's not just within Genesis. Now, if we're going to try to hold this, we've got to go beyond Genesis and start discrediting other portions of scripture that they don't really mean what they say. And so it gets thicker and thicker as we move down the line. We also have numerous problems when looking at the contradictions between the order of how God says he created and how the evolutionist says it was created. Let me list a couple of them for you quickly. God declared that the earth was created before the sun and the stars. Evolution says that the stars and the sun were created before the earth. God says the earth was initially covered with water. Evolution says initially it was covered with a molten blob. God says the ocean came first, then dry land. Evolution says dry land came first, then the oceans. God says life was first created on land. Evolution says life started in the ocean. God says plants were created before the sun. Evolution says plants came long after the sun. God says land animals were created after birds. Evolution says they came before birds. God says he created whales before the land animals. Evolution says land animals came before the whales. Which one is it? Is God that inaccurate? Does he not know how he created himself? Could God have missed it that bad? Was God trying to confuse us? What's going on here? Again, neither can be proven by science because they weren't there. Next, what are some of the problems with non-literal days? Think about this with non-literal days. First, if plants were made on day 3, and I'm going to tell you where they were made as we'll look at in creation, but let's think about this logically and think about millions of years as compared to 24-hour periods. If plants were made on day 3, as we'll see when we get there, and birds and nectar bats created on day 5, and insects created in day 6 needed for pollination, all of these had to be present immediately or plants could not exist. In other words, if all of those creatures were not created all at the same time, we would have no plant life on earth. It would have all died out. They had to all be present to carry the whole pollination process, the whole situation of the way that nature works. And so even logically looking at it, we see that millions of years between these, if plants were made on day 3 and millions of years later, birds and nectar bats, the plants would have been long gone. And then the nectar bats would have had anything to even work with. Neither would the birds. And this is true of a multitude of plants and creatures that could not have survived if not created within days of each other. Again, we could get a whole list. We're not going to do that because of time's sake and our purposes. But not to mention numerous animals that could not have survived while waiting on evolution to develop the complex systems needed to survive immediately. There are too many things that had to take place right away that could not have evolved, or these creatures would not exist today. And so again, we become completely disillusioned as how evolution could even be a possibility. Even if you don't believe creation, you have to honestly say evolution has to be out of the question. Next, the Bible states that, and this is interesting to me, the Bible states that Adam was created on day 6, but it speaks of him living past day 7. Now that would make Adam millions of years old. Now the Bible does say indeed that Adam did live a long time, 930 years, but not even 1,000. But some may say, well, come on, the Bible couldn't mean that people really live. Wait a minute. I do believe that the ages it gives were exactly true, and I think it's because of some scientific things that we'll talk about later as to why it was that way. As a matter of fact, scientists, again, speculate today that the canopy that God says was around the earth before the flood released in Adam's flood would have protected the earth from radiation, causing the lifespan of man to be exponential as to what we know it today. Interesting, isn't it? Because right after the flood, which when we get there, we'll talk more about it, what happens? Bible readers, you'll notice when you hit Genesis chapter 6 and get past the flood, the age of man begins to nosedive and immediately goes down to the ages that we now have stabilized out at. God created us, if you remember initially, to live forever. Why should it be surprising that Adam lived 930 years? You were created to be eternal. It's only because sin and death entered the world that now we've shut that off and now we die. The Lord said, in the day that you sin, you will die. And so what happens? Now we die. Some of us, you know, slower than others, faster than others. That's up to the Lord. But what we need to realize is that these processes work together. I mean, it couldn't have been millions of years or Adam, you know, would have been millions of years old. The next question, does carbon dating prove that the earth is millions of years old? just to hit these briefly, I want to hit a couple here, and we're going to finish up with a portion of Scripture today, but the carbon dating method is another common scientific misconception. Some people believe that it's infallible, that it's proven that we're millions of years old. Did you know that the carbon dating can only date up to 50,000 years old anyway? Because of the carbon exchange rate. You can't date anything with carbon dating, theoretically, older than 50,000 years. So to say that carbon dating proves millions of years is fallacy. Scientifically, that is false. And again, people believe that because that's what we're oftentimes told, that it's proved. You can't even use it for only thousands of years you can use it, not millions and billions. But we also know that fossil fuels released in the atmosphere, since modern machinery, have changed the ratio of carbon-14 in the atmosphere dramatically, which would change all of the dating methods of everything we use carbon-14 on anyway. See, without going into science, and I'm no scientist, I won't pretend to be, but there's an exchange rate with carbon-14 and nitrogen and oxygen. The leaves absorb the carbon-14, the animals eat the carbon-14, and the scientists can take a living creature. The only thing you can use carbon-14 on is a living creature anyway, and you evaluate the living creature because carbon-14 will start to date itself from the time that creature dies because of an erosion process, and you can date how old that creature was based on carbon-14. Here's the clincher. It's only good depending on what the carbon-14 level is in our atmosphere, which we now know we have changed in our age because of fossil fuels. It is now different, which means that everything we find is going to look older than it really is. Again, these are things we need to know as believers because you can be stumbled by this unless you begin to look at some of the actual facts. It's also interesting to note that scientists say that a worldwide flood, of all things, would no doubt greatly change the carbon-14 levels in the earth, meaning that fossils formed at that time and before, if found, would register much older than reality. Isn't that interesting? Because that's exactly what the Bible says happened. Well, what about radiometric and other forms of dating? Well, without going into detail, suffice it to say they all have many problems that render them reliably inconsistent. The different methods used consistently come up with different dates, even as the same materials, showing them unreliable. There are too many unknowns and variables to be accurate. I'll give you one example I read this week. One documented method showed that one rock that they tested, it showed it to be thousands of years old. They took the same rock and did it with a different method, and it came up 2.6 billion years old. Now, they can't both be right. Again, it shows the inaccuracies of even this form of dating measures. Well, what about geological layers of strata? But Mark, they have geological layers of strata. We know we got on that. It represents millions of years. Oh, do we know that? Do we really know that? Some believe that it shows millions of years, but as a matter of fact, the layers of strata across the world are actually a greater testimony of a worldwide flood. Because if a worldwide flood was to happen, it would lay down stratas all across the entire world. That's why you would find stratas all across the entire world. Interesting, they have now found trees growing up through these stratas. Not that we're alive, that were preserved in the stratas. Now what that means is, either those trees grew for millions of years, or something happened that buried that tree rather quickly in many stratas and layers of material. I know which one I believe. It's also interesting to note that those who do their strata investigations find out that between stratas, no erosion. Think about that for a moment. If something's there for millions or thousands of years, do you think there'd be erosion before the next layer came on top of it? There's no erosion. It's as if they all happened at the same time. They also have bends in them. Those of you that have studied geology, they have bends in them when you look at these stratas, right? Guys, that is exactly consistent at what would happen with layers of water and mud and rock all moving and rolling and forming. It is not consistent with something holding still and over time piling on top of itself. So again, the evidence even for the strata layers don't line up with the evolutionary theory. They line more up with what the Bible says. There was a worldwide flood. There was a great catastrophe. It's interesting when they find different seashells and things on top of mountains all around the world. How did they get there? Did they evolve? Seashells on the mountain, you just, wow, just here a long time, and suddenly I'm here. Guys, when you find that stuff, it's because there was a worldwide flood. I mean, God knows what he's doing, and God has told us what he's done. Now, the next question is, what about the stars? They're millions of light years away. Mark, how to explain that? They're millions of light. We haven't been here long enough for the light. It had to be millions of years for all that starlight to get here. Is the reason is because we don't understand what God said about the starlight in Scripture. You see, our thinking is reversed. The light from the stars never did have to get here. It started here, the Bible says, and was stretched out millions of years. Psalm 104, verses 1 and 2 declares this. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, who cover yourself with light as with a garment, who stretched out the heavens like a curtain. Guys, when you take a curtain and you stretch it out, is it all here in the middle to begin with? You see, God created. Everything was here. Light, the light from the stars, the planets, God created it. God grabbed it and went, whoo. And you know what's interesting? Even scientists today say that our universe is what? Expanding. Because God said he stretched out the universe like a curtain. It all lines up perfectly with what God said he did in his creation. And so again, we see nothing contradictory, only things that really solidify where we stand in the scriptures. Now, in conclusion today, since there are so many unanswered questions scientifically, and neither creationists nor evolutionists were there to see exactly what happened and how it happened, how do we know what happened for sure? Because there is one who was there at creation. And his name is God Almighty. And he alone has the authority and true scientific criteria to silence all the critics. I want you to turn with me to Job 38. It is the book right before Psalms. And I want to read you a chapter out of Job. In Job 38, actually, before we get to Job 38, Job has been arguing with God, and so have these other three men that have been arguing with Job and saying, you know what? They're saying all these things about God and telling Job what God is like, why this is happening to Job, and they're all speaking for God. Everyone's speaking for God. This is really what happened. This is really the reality. And God says, whoa, 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 put on the brakes. I'm tired of all you guys speaking for me. I'm tired of Job. I'm tired of you speaking for me. I'm tired of everybody telling me what I'm like or who I'm like or what I am or what I've done. I will now speak for myself. And he silences Job finally and now begins to speak to him. And I love this, because as we read this and we hear this, I want you to hear what God says to those who would doubt and question him or his creation and his word. And I personally wish that this particular chapter would be required reading for each college professor of science before they were licensed. Not that we can't look towards science to find things out, but to think that we have all the answers with our limited brain, with our limited mind, with our limited resources, to think that somehow we can get all the facts and come up with what really happened and maybe not be in error due to something that maybe we don't know. God had enough of it. And notice verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Oh, surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, when I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors, when I said, this far you may come, but no farther, and here your proud waves must stop. Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, and the wicked shall be taken out of it or shaken out of it? It takes on the form like clay under a seal and stands out like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld and the upraised arm is broken. Have you entered the springs of the sea? Or have you walked in search of the depths? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Or have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? Have you comprehended the breadth of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. Where is the way to the dwelling of light? And darkness, where is its place? That you may take it to its territory, that you may know the paths to its home. Do you know it because you were born then, or because the number of your days is great? Have you entered the treasury of snow, or have you seen the treasury of hail, which I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war? By what way is light diffused, or the east wind scattered over the earth? Who has divided the channel for the overflowing water, or the path for the thunderbolt? To cause it to rain on a land where there is no one, a wilderness in which there is no man? To satisfy the desolate waste and cause to spring forth the growth of tender grass? Has the rain a father? Or who has begotten the drops of dew? From whose womb comes the ice and the frost of heaven? Who gives it its birth? The waters hardened like stone and the surface of the deep is frozen. Can you bind the cluster of the Pleiades? Or loose the belt of Orion? Can you bring out Maseroth in its season? Or can you guide the great bear with its cubs? Do you know the ordinances of the heavens? Can you set their dominion over the earth? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds that an abundance of water may cover you? Can you send out lightnings that you may go and say to you, here we are? Who has put wisdom in the mind? Or who has given understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds by wisdom? Or who can pour out the bottles of heaven when the dust hardens in clumps and the clods cling together? Can you hunt the prey for the lion or satisfy the appetite of the young lions when they crouch in their dens or lurk in their lairs to lie in wait? Who provides food for the raven when its young ones cry to God and wonder about for lack of food? And God goes on in chapter 39 and chapter 40 going on and laying all this out to Job, saying, Job, oh, certainly you have all the answers. You and your friends, you have so much wisdom. You've analyzed it. You've figured it all out. Oh, I'm just God. I guess I don't know, but I'm glad you guys have it all together. And by the time he's done with Job, Job was just completely broken and speechless. Job says to him in chapter 42, look at chapter 42, the last couple of verses to look at. Notice what Job says after God is done with all of this, and even more than we read. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Father, your word speaks for itself. We, in our weakness and our feeble, small minds, even those of us who have superior intellectual prowess, like certain scientific professors or scientists in the world, we thank you, Lord, that you've given us such people to help us to make discoveries, to know how to better treat our bodies and to alter things that need to be altered. Lord, we do thank you for giving us science. But Lord, we and our little feeble minds are arrogant and completely puffed up to think that we somehow know more than you, and that somehow our way is greater, and that we have figured it out, because even as you said to Job, certainly we have the knowledge. Certainly we know all things. No, Lord, your word says your ways are higher than our ways, and that you are greater than we are. We put our trust in you, Lord. We put our trust in your word. And I pray that you would help us to grow and be strong and stand firm in your word and stand firm, Lord, in what you've shown us to be true. Let us not be fearful as Christians. Let us not cower, Lord, in the area of science, but Lord, to move boldly forward as many have done. Because Lord, as we do that, we see that you being the creator of science, it only lines up all the more beautifully with your eternal word. We thank you. We give you glory. God, I pray that you would just strengthen us. And I pray, Lord, that you would just encourage us to always be able to stand and believe in your word, to know why we believe what we believe, and to know why we stand where we stand. And we thank you, Lord, that you indeed are the creator and that you have all knowledge and power, and we are simply dust. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name.
It's always a blessing to have you come to the table of God's Word with us each and every day. Pastor Mark's been going through the book of Genesis, and there's much to learn and appreciate from this first book of the Bible. Sometimes to fully grasp something later on, you need to understand where things began. From verse 1, God made it clear that he was there all along, and he set things in motion exactly as he instructed. Isn't it neat to see that all of creation is under God's authority? That includes you. This could seem a bit intimidating, but it's actually God's way of looking out for your best interests. Once you look at it that way, you start to realize that everything in all of creation is something that God initiated with intention, and that includes you. What a great thing to come to today. If you missed any part of this message or would like to hear this one again, you can always go back and find it at thewaymedia.net. Just click on the Come to the Table tab. Another way to access these messages is by downloading the Way Media app from the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. By doing this, you'll be able to take these teachings with you wherever you go. Would you like to get in touch with us? Our number is 865-609-1385. Once more, that's 865-609-1385. Feel free to call us with questions or to even ask for prayer. please come back for another edition where Pastor Mark will continue his teaching through the book of Genesis the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.